Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship he'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that.
Like, he, they, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
Maybe, what's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And wow. You might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Out of line. Bulldog is off through Monday. Happy Friday to you. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. The Bandits are home to Vancouver in their second playoff round tonight. It is a best of three series. Tonight home, Sunday in Vancouver. Long way to go for one. And then, if necessary, the team split back here for the decider next weekend. Going for a third straight title. You can hear it on WGR. Dave Buchanan will join me to give us a preview in about 25 minutes. Right now, the man behind GoLongTD.com, Tyler Dunn. Number one answer this week has been our talking about Brandon Bean. Number two, close behind it, is Brandon Bean talking, period. He did what, Tyler? An hour with you and maybe longer?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Great to be here, man.
Yes.
Yeah, it was about an hour right there at One Bills Drive. And we caught up for about the same amount of time last year, right around now, too. So, hey, don't take that for granted. It's rare to get, you know, a general manager, somebody running the show, the architect of a roster, to sit down and not just talk for an hour, but, like, give you substance. I mentioned to Brandon at one point, like, I was around Ted Thompson for 5 years, and
yeah.
He said a whole lot of nothing, which, God rest his soul, one of the best GMs of his time. But, yeah, there are other approaches to this job, for sure.
Well, I wonder what sense you got or get from Bean. Monday morning on WGR was kind of a disaster. He was just so hot, almost, you know, unprovoked. And, you know, then he's doing other media and it sounds less hot. Is he trying to get a particular point across here, Tyler? I don't know if he, I'm not trying to load these questions either, because I'm not sure any of these answers is yes, but I don't know if he seemed defensive to you or just sort of like how he normally is.
That's a good point. And the way I kind of started our conversation is, you know, just kind of joking around. I mean, this was 24 hours after he goes viral and nuclear with Jeremy. And I said, yeah, you know, I figured we just start off talking wide receivers, Brandon. Let's just get right into it. I wrote a story, you know, basically saying the same exact thing that Jeremy's been saying on the radio, that they should draft receivers, flood Josh Allen with weapons. And he, you know, it was, I guess a few less curse words with myself than Jeremy, but just as passionate. You know, he has a point to make. And, when you hear, whether it's Brandon Bean, any GM, any coach, any player for that matter, kind of go off like that to that extreme, it does make you think. I mean, there's probably a lot of conversations internally, and he's hearing things externally. There's probably a lot bubbling there, is what I would say. And he probably knows what fans are thinking, what fans are saying. And I was absolutely open to the idea of, okay, let's see where you're coming from, and came away from our conversation thinking, yeah, you know, that makes a hell of a lot of sense that you're building the team this way and feel the way you do.
One thing he's got in his defense here is, and this came out Monday morning and in your piece, last year's results. I mean, 30 points a game is 30 points a game. And 29 in the playoffs, by the way, against three good to great teams. And he cited the last Carolina team he was with that went to the Super Bowl against Denver, and how they led the league in points, which I did not think about or remember, with Ted Ginn, Jericho Cotchery, Philly Brown, and a rookie, Devin Funchess, if I have that right. Not exactly, you know, tip-of-the-tongue sort of names. And so, and they had the same up-the-middle defensive prowess that he wants here. So he's got more than just last year and these recent Bills seasons as examples.
Yeah, and I wasn't really sure where he'd go with that Carolina Panthers blueprint, because there's part of me thinking, like, would he or Sean McDermott really want to bring up those Panther teams? I mean, yeah, they went to the Super Bowl one year, went to the Super Bowl another year. Those names are kind of at the top of my mind. It's not something you necessarily want to gloat about, brag about, but when you really look back at 2003, that's Jake Delhomme, Mushin Muhammad, Steve Smith was really young at that time. I mean, they were winning with defense, with Julius Peppers, Chris Jenkins. He goes right down the line, right through the depth chart, really, with that front seven. Same thing in 2015, that defense, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis. Remember the Super Bowl he's playing with one arm, basically. It's all stapled up. I mean, it's grisly to look at that thing. Just tough, nasty, salty, to use his words, Brandon Bean's words. That's what he really wants to build. And, you know, I think you've got that luxury when you've got a Cam Newton in an MVP season and now a Josh Allen giving you those kind of seasons year in, year out to build a team however you want. And I guess we'll see how it plays out, right? It's hard to say what's right and what's wrong right now. They haven't gotten to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. But I think that my tendency, my quick reaction is, get weapons. Load up on weapons. I still remember Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame GM, saying, I wish I got Brett Favre more weapons. Another Hall of Fame GM, Bill Polian. What did he do every year for Peyton Manning? Weapons, weapons, weapons. And then next thing you know, they evolve. Dallas Clark becomes such a weapon in the slot. Things change. It reaches another gear. They beat the Patriots. They win the Super Bowl. Yeah, he could go that route, right? Like, that is an option, to just draft these guys nonstop. But this is what Brandon Bean knows. This is what he's going to stick to. He's seen it work. He's seen those two teams come within inches of winning a Super Bowl both times, and that's how he's going to build the Buffalo Bills. And I think, you know, whether it's Jeremy, myself, anybody at a press conference, when we're talking about the offense, I part of me gets it when he gets ticked off, because, look, it really was 8 games in a row, 30 points, first team ever, 30 rushing touchdowns, 30 passing touchdowns. And when it comes to the defense, it's an absolute calamity. I mean, it's absolute disaster. 55% of the time teams are scoring touchdowns on non-kneel down drives the last four playoff losses. So that's what needs to be fixed. The fact that Patrick Mahomes is kind of waltzing through the farmer's market against Buffalo, and then next thing you know, you see him getting smacked around by Jalen Carter, Josh Sweat, and the Eagles. It's two totally different ecosystems. It looks like two different sports, those two games. So, yeah, I think Brandon Bean knows, like, McDermott, the team, they deserve, you know, criticism from us. But he thinks, look, it probably should be at our defense. You know, we're not getting after these quarterbacks, and, hell, they went after them this spring.
I do appreciate how he told you, last year, I get it. This year, I don't so much get it. But he's kind of founding that on Josh Palmer. And I think that's pretty hopeful. Now it's Elijah Moore, too, I suppose. See, it's always two different things, Tyler. The commitment, but then, you know, the results. Are the players good? You could draft weapons in the first round. Kincaid and Coleman count for something, but they haven't really been hits yet. So effort is one thing. Results is another. Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, 21 games, 46 times sacked, including six by Philadelphia in the recent Super Bowl. Four of those games against Buffalo, five sacks for 20 yards. So you can appreciate, I mean, if you don't agree with them, then you don't. But being identifying not just Mahomes necessarily, but that lack of production as a weakness is fair.
I think so, too. I mean, especially when you see firsthand, it is possible. I mean, Tampa Bay did the same exact thing. I think, what was the stat, Mike? Like, I think it was Next Gen or something, added up the amount of yards that Patrick Mahomes was running around before he either threw the ball or was sacked. I think it was like 497 against Tampa Bay. I mean, he looked like he was running for his damn life. And when has he ever looked like that in these playoff games against Buffalo? It just hasn't been the case. So I think you give Brandon Bean credit for effort, right? And to your point, now you have to see results, because the effort is trading up for a TJ Sanders, a guy you talk around the league, he would have been gone if Buffalo stood pat. I do think that if you want this player, you better go get him, because he wouldn't have been sitting there. There were teams that were absolutely going to draft TJ Sanders. And in theory, as Brandon Bean laid out, you can't double at Oliver every single play. Maybe he gets freed up now if Sanders has proved himself by then. Joey Bosa, they say they have a plan for him to stay healthy. You know, maybe you get a Larry Okunjobi back by at that point. He's giving you something. So there's a path here for it to be different. But this is kind of the beauty of pro football. Like, Brandon Bean knows this. Ultimately, he will be judged by the Keon Colemans, the Dalton Kincaids, the Maxwell Harrisons, these draft picks. And he is making the final call. And he confirmed that in our conversation. Like, he's making these picks. He's the one in charge. We'll be able to judge this GM in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, as these guys play more and more and more. And then we'll see if this is the right approach to kind of follow that Panthers blueprint.
Your saying that makes me just want to ask you, do you have a sense of how it's going, the team of Bean and McDermott? Like, Bean stressing to you, if that's not too strong, that it's up to me. Do you feel like there's, if you can even say, if you don't know, then you can skip the question, because I really don't know. I just wonder sometimes, because, you know, it's been a long time. I wonder if, you know, they're still as kind of joined at the hip, so to speak, as ever.
I think so, right? Everything publicly is hunky-dory, and why wouldn't it be? You know, they've won five division titles in a row. They do try to kind of remind everybody of that big picture and go out of their way to do so. I think what Sean McDermott was doing in an interview at like an MLS game and was asked about, he brought up then, like, look, it's been really good. Let's keep perspective here. But hell, you know, one of my best friends, you know, in college, a roommate, hell, we loved each other all the time, hung out all the time, got along, this and that. Eventually you get sick of somebody and you're at each other's throats. So I think it's human nature. You're around somebody 8 years. I'm sure there are disagreements. You know, that's just a gut feeling more than anything behind the scene on how to build this thing, how to get over the hump. And, you know, will that boil over? I don't know. I'm not sure. I did ask at one point, you know, what did Sean think about these picks? And he said, yeah, you know, this was the plan early in the spring. We knew we had to beef up on the D-line. And I don't know why the head coach would be upset with a draft like this. I mean, he has options galore. And, you know, if you fast forward to January, to me, that's the story. It's like the defense is really out of excuses. They've got new coaches, new players, options on the D-line, options at cornerback. It's not going to turn into a game of where's Kyrie or Elam for Patrick Mahomes. You've got different types of corners out there. More than anybody, Sean McDermott should be absolutely elated with this NFL draft for the Bills.
And by the way, of course, it's not just sacks. I mean, often the best quarterbacks can avoid sacks for the most part. But Mahomes ran for two touchdowns in that game this year. In the 13 seconds game, he went 7 for 69 in a touchdown. And the one this last year, remember him just kind of walking in around the right side for a touchdown in that game? Like, just sort of the defensive line, the holding up overall is where we are. People growing apart, Bulldog not here today, the cover story is he's on a short vacation. That's what we're going with.
That play you brought up too, Mike, Greg Rousseau the next day, in so many words, that they weren't prepared for. They had no clue that Mahomes would keep the ball on that play. You watch it. I think but they're pulling left and he runs right. So, yeah, I mean, that's an indictment of coaching. Just like on the other side of the ball with Osiris Torrance breaking down the fateful fourth and five. So it's, you know, as always, is it the players? Is it the coaches? Who's to blame? We're all trying to figure that out. It's probably all the above, and it's a game of inches, and they somehow got to win those inches against these Chiefs.
I mean, coaching is such a huge part of it. I think of that as the difference this year. And they did not have a good season on offense, Kansas City, relative term, but it just worked for them that day. And the one or two plays late, you're mentioning two from this last game, the year before here, it's the same kind of thing. That's part of it. You wonder, Tyler, how long this gets. I mean, it's been an incredible 7 years, eight for McDermott so far. Allen will be here for a lot longer. But it's one of these classic teams that win and win and win, but hit their heads on the ceiling. You mentioned Polian's Colts, and there are other examples, Andy Reid in Philadelphia, where that happens. And, you know, sometimes a team moves on before it gets there.
Only three head coaches in NFL history, the Super Bowl era, have lasted this long with one team and won a Super Bowl. I believe it's Hank Stram, Tom Landry, and Bill Cowher. So, yeah, it's time, right? It's time to kick that door down. And I don't know if they're close to having those hard conversations. And, you know, I think it's worth noting Sean McDermott evolved for good last year, and we've gotten into it in many ways, the aggressiveness and just really getting players to think about what can go right instead of dreading what can go wrong. It's not something you can just call a fake punt to DeMar Hamlin, you know, wave a magic wand, and, oh, you got it. Like, they found something late that 2023 season, but it took a full year to kind of marinate that, I think, in the subconscious, in the psychology of this team. But 1 through 53 and being around that team, they really genuinely grew to believe. So you give Sean McDermott credit for that. I think last year was a hell of a job coaching for him. But every coach ultimately is judged by January performance. And look, the roster was good enough to beat the Chiefs 4 years in a row in the regular season. So Bean did something right in that department personnel-wise, and now the coach has all the pieces on defense. It's crazy. I mean, you've been covering this team, talking about this team forever, Mike. It still is wild to me. I think everybody, fans, players, media, coaches, just wants to hit that simulate to January button because nothing really matters until then. And then that's when we kind of draw our conclusions. You guys had great segments all week, too, on, like, appreciating this moment in time. It's good to feel alive, I think, for fans, right? To feel joy and pain rather than just be numb and comatose for 17 years.
Yeah, right. Being grateful or being mad that they haven't made it. Stram, Landry, Cowher. So a length of term before a Super Bowl win. So Stram would have had an AFL win. I mean, it's Super Bowl IV. So that almost really disqualifies him, I would say, from that, maybe. Landry's good because Dallas's thing, even before the Super Bowl era, was they just always finished second. And then they win Super Bowl VI to break that. Cowher's absolutely. I mean, Cowher, the thing about him, that was 13 years before he won it. And, like, the Steelers have had three coaches in my lifetime. It's just sort of, Pittsburgh's almost different, but he's a part of why. I mean, Pittsburgh's almost different for not making a coaching change. They just never do. Nick Kostos, on with us last Wednesday, Tyler, said, and I have not confirmed this, but I remember him saying it. I'm thinking that he knows it. No coach and quarterback combo that have been together.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This long have ever won it. And that would be Allen and McDermott. That would be Jackson and Harbaugh too, where it's the same coach and the same quarterback for this many years. Like once you get here, it doesn't happen, or it hasn't happened is how I should put that, because it certainly could happen for either team. They've both been great.
That's unbelievable. I never would have guessed that. It's been a while. And, I suppose time flies while you're having fun, and it's mostly been fun for the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's 29. He's kind of entering that next phase of his career. He's got the MVP hardware, and it is fascinating, Mike. I mean, this is the direction they're taking it. They want to just create this runaway freight train of an offense that can run the ball, throw when necessary, and beat you physically on the line of scrimmage, defensively, and that's I don't really have any questions on offense. I feel like even though they had this crazy good health on the offensive line, even though they had the plus 28 turnover differential, which is nuts, nobody even close to that last season, I think that, you know, maybe the Palmer tweak is enough to kind of keep this thing moving. The question is defense. Like, is anything going to change? And until you see it in the playoffs, we just kind of have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Tyler, out of left field here, if you don't mind, before you go, just be curious for how you think it's going to go for Travis Hunter in Jacksonville. I was talking to Sal earlier about them as like are they an interesting primetime team? And Sal kind of thought maybe still not really, but Hunter is unique in modern NFL history, of course. Any guesses as to like what they do with him? How will he be the best receiver in the NFL and the best corner? Is that even possible?
Man, do I absolutely love what Jacksonville did. Everything Travis Hunter. Like, what do all the picks in the world do for you? If you can't, you think if anybody would learn this, it's the Cleveland Browns. How many times have they done this over? Back to the Julio Jones trade. They're constantly, you know, following the analytics, compiling picks. How many darts can we throw at the board? And they just end up throwing their darts. They're basically blindfolded and turn around the opposite direction. Jacksonville knew they wanted Hunter, so they went and got him. And I think their plan for him is it's going to be wide receiver, and it will be, you know, maybe situational cornerback stuff to where you're not overdoing it. You know, red zone, 2 minutes, third down, throw him out there in the slot, have him lock somebody down. I think that they do have a plan, and Gladstone and Liam Cohen, they got into this where they've talked to sports scientists, they talked to trainers, equipment managers, coaches, everybody to kind of figure this thing out, because the Pac-12 is not the NFL. Like, I get it. He played all those snaps in college. He's not going to be able to do that in the NFL, but he is a special talent, and scouts around the NFL, they really do see just a 0-60 tap, 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 and he's gone kind of receiver. So opposite Brian Thomas Jr., with Trevor Lawrence and, you know, a different coaching, I think this thing can work. And it was fascinating. I talked to his high school coach a couple weeks ago, and his life is nuts. I mean, when he was the number one recruit in all of high school football, there was a play his senior year where his coach is convinced that the other team basically had a bounty out for him. And I watched the play. It looks like it. Like, five guys just crunch him, sandwich him, twist him around in a pile. He breaks his leg. He's army crawling toward the sideline. It's just brutal to watch. And he thinks he's done. He thinks football's done. And it, you know, that his leg is just a compound fracture and all this. It's a hairline fracture. He returns in 5-6 weeks, picks up where he left off, and look at him now. Wow. I think that he's going to pan out big time.
Wow, what a story. What's next at GoLongTD.com?
Yeah, so I spent some time down in Florida for the owners' meetings, but with some players as well for some features. There's a player for the Dolphins, spent the whole day together, just unreal upbringing, basically homeless as a child for a good 3-4 years and remembers it all, remembers the detail, what life was like. It's crazy that he's alive, let alone in the NFL, and is kind of out to save lives today in different ways as a player. So I think that's going to be really interesting, you know, for everybody out there. And there's a couple deep dives we're working on a couple teams that will take a couple more months to work on. But getting some folks talking, I think it'll be interesting. We're always trying to lift up that curtain on this game.
Very good. Thanks for today, Tyler.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. Tyler Dunn with us, golongtd.com. Next, Dave Buchanan on tonight's Bandits second round playoff opener, home against Vancouver. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Rebound out in front. Bird got a couple of shots and a rebound on his own. Here's an outlet pass for Buffalo in the break now for Nick Weiss. Weiss coming in strong, scores!
Is that from last week? San Diego? The Bandits and Vancouver tonight in the playoffs. 7 o'clock pregame here on WGR. Buffalo 5, San Diego 4 last Friday night in a single elimination first round. Dave Buchanan on the West Hur Hotline. Dave, what kind of box lacrosse game ends 5-4?
A really exciting one, Mike. It was electric despite the low scoring. It was, especially from where I stand, but it was very good. Both goaltenders were on their game. Both defenses were excellent. And, luckily Buffalo held on the entire second half without scoring to come away with the win.
I watched the whole thing. The goal at right before halftime, right before, point one, to make it 5-2 ends up being the difference as they don't score a single time in the second half. Pretty good.
Yeah, and I thought the offense did an excellent job. Even though they didn't score in the second half, there was a lot of stretches in the second half where they controlled the ball. They got second, third, fourth chances with loose balls and were able to kill a lot of clock in that third and fourth quarter. And I think that was a big reason why, they won last week. I didn't think the offense played poorly. Maybe they didn't convert on their chances as much as they would have liked, but I never sat there thinking, oh, the offense is having a bad night. I never thought that.
How about this goalie, Dave? All these years, he was a part of a three-peat in Rochester, if I know that correctly, Vince, and now he's going for the same thing here. Up there in age, but still a game like last week is just pretty stellar.
Yeah, it's funny. He's the last guy on the team that's older than I am, and it's only by about 3 months at age 42. He turns 43 next month. Wow. But Matt Vince is a specimen. He keeps his body in phenomenal shape. He's out there on the floor right now doing his pregame routine, juggling lacrosse balls and stretching, and it's always fun to watch him. But he said it in the post-game press conference last week. He's a phys ed teacher, I think in St. Catharines, and, that helps keep him young. He works with all those young athletes up there, and, he just stays in great shape, and he's phenomenal, and he's the best of all time for a reason.
I like that. So, in your opinion, are they in good enough form to take this down, a third straight title? And I know it's a ways off. And I also know that that's not necessarily always going to be predictive. You can look great in the semis and then fall flat, or vice versa, survive the semis and then take off. I don't know. What's your opinion of their chances?
They're just as good as any year that they've been in it. I find it funny. This is the first time in this stretch where they've gone to the finals every year since 2019. They're not playing the Toronto Rock in this round, so that's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And they're going up against the Vancouver Warriors team that's the hottest team in the league. Ever since they acquired Christian Delbienko from Calgary at the trade deadline in early March, that team hasn't lost a game, and they've hardly played from behind at all during that stretch. So I think this is the toughest task ahead of them. I think the two other teams left in the bracket, I think Buffalo can definitely take in a best of three, but I think this series is their biggest challenge, and they're going to put up a good fight. Vancouver beat this team just 5 weeks ago, 13-12, in a game where Buffalo had an 11-9 fourth quarter lead, and Vancouver came back, battled back, and then their goaltender stood on his head for the final 3 minutes to preserve the win.
Tough thing. Either way, but if you lose it here, then to have to go out there and play Sunday. It's a pretty cruel schedule at times, indoor lacrosse. It's the weekends, and it's Buffalo, Vancouver. It's as far as it is, but still, the loser of this game, long trip, and then quick turnaround.
Yeah, it's just one of the quirks of the schedule. It's weird. All four The first round matchups were all east-west, so we were almost guaranteed to have some travel headaches in the second round, and that's why the other series, Halifax, Saskatchewan, their schedule is the way it is just because of travel issues. But, it is a short turnaround. Both teams will fly out either – I think the Bandits at least are all flying out tomorrow and then right back at it on Sunday night, less than 48 hours difference. So they won't have much time to think about it. Luckily, Buffalo already has a couple back-to-back weekends under their belt this year, and they've performed pretty well in those situations.
Halifax and Saskatchewan, the other side. So we're carrying the torch for the states.
Yeah, it's interesting. So many Canadian teams made the playoffs this year, and one of them wasn't the Toronto Rock, which was also surprising. That's a lot of attention north of the border on the three remaining teams.
Do you know how we're looking for tickets tonight?
It's definitely in the range of probably about 16,000 or so. The playoffs are always a tricky thing with ticket sales. I mean, I think one of the perks is people like to buy Bandits tickets well in advance. They'll buy tickets for a game in March and December and kind of plan it out versus having, a week notice, a 1 week notice to get these tickets. And, people have plans going on and kids have, school sports. I know, like all the school lacrosse teams, I think, are playing this weekend and things like that. So it makes it a challenge, but luckily there's a good built-in diehard fan base, so we'll be pretty full. But if anybody's looking to still go, you can still go to bandits.com/tickets and get your good seats still available for tonight.
I remember this from my days working in Rochester when it was about, they might not have sold the max number of season tickets, but you would not get playoff tickets in that package, and then you'd get them to the playoffs and be like, crowds would be really down, which is sort of counterintuitive. Like, that would not happen in Buffalo for the Sabres or the Bills. I mean, there'd be no question, but it's just how it is. You buy the package, and then it's just an extra financial commitment the fan has to make for the playoffs, and it's just not a given that they'll be able to make it or even interested. So I think that I'm not sure if the same logic necessarily applies across the board, but it makes sense if it does.
Yeah, and I know the Bandits, I think the first round ticket is kind of included in the season ticket package. Don't hold me to that.
Okay.
So this game was beyond the season ticket package. So, it's still a pretty affordable maybe compared to the Sabres or Bills. So I think they'll be well represented, and I think there'll be a good walk-up crowd. The weather's kind of iffy tonight. Maybe people want to do something indoors.
Right. Bisons are away anyway. The game last week, last thing, Dave, watching the San Diego team, Trevor Baptiste taking faceoffs. So I've become more familiar with certain of the more bigger names in lacrosse through the outdoor game.
Yep.
And he's the faceoff god, Baptiste. Mm-hmm. And so is it Farrell for the Bandits who was up against him last? He held his own. But when I saw Baptiste, I'm like, this could be bad, because if it's like the outdoor game, most games he plays in, San Diego's going to win every faceoff. It didn't quite go that way.
No, I mean, Connor's a faceoff specialist. He played in the PLL a couple seasons ago. He's been out of that league now for a couple of years. But he had faced Trevor outdoors. They had never squared off in a box setting before last week. But one of the things I like about Connor's game is he might start out slow, but he's a great learner. And usually by the second half, he'll figure out whoever he's facing. And he'll definitely do much better in a second half of the game, it seems like, especially when it's somebody new. He's going up against another strong faceoff opponent tonight. Alex Dathakis from Michigan is the Vancouver faceoff specialist, and Alex got the better of him when they were here 5 weeks ago. But it should be still a good battle, and having Connor gives the Bandits a chance on every possession and maybe try to limit runs from their opponents.
Very good, Dave. Thanks for your time. Should be a great night.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Mike. Hope everybody tunes in. We'll have pregame at 7 o'clock. And then face-off just after 7:30 right here in WGR.
Love it. Thank you, Dave.
Good to talk to you, Mike.
You too. And the face-off thing in the outdoor game, if not also box, but one, I mean, I watch high school lacrosse. College is the same way. Even the PLL, the Premier Lacrosse League. If one player is dominant on face-offs, that is just it's the opposite of hockey in this way. It's just a huge game changer. Because you're getting every possession. And if you're the superior team on top of that, ball movement and finishing, you just kind of own the game. And I've seen plenty of games where it is like that, where just one team has a much superior face-off specialist, Fogo, face-off, get-off. And they just, I never think about lacrosse in like a betting sense. But I'd love to know sort of how the face-off thing tilts odds, or would, if that's even out there to bet on, because like that's the thing you would want. And it's the number one thing I think you'd want to know about a matchup is faceoffs, you know, maybe goaltending. But, you know, hockey just means so little. Once in a while, a goal is scored directly off a faceoff. Okay, good. But mostly it's just, you know, team's going to pass the puck back and forth, and then a goal will be scored, you know, like that. But in lacrosse, it can mean, you know, our possession, goal, same goal, same goal. And then, like, it's just not over that fast, but it can feel like it. It can feel like it. All right, Bandits in Vancouver tonight, pregame at 7 after me. This is Mike Schoep, back after this timeout on WGR. If you missed Bet Sweat's co-host Sam Panayotovich earlier today, check it out on the Odyssey app, Rewind Our Show. Sam gave out some numbers for tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. It was six numbers. So he goes pretty hard, but 8, 3, 9, 14, 18, 21. Kentucky Derby numbers get pretty high, too, 21. Anyway, if you miss Sam, he's always a delight on the Odyssey app. Thinking about so much time spent on Brandon Bean this week, and maybe it's a concerted effort, maybe it's not. I don't suggest that because he has been exactly like hard to find. I mean, he's done plenty of media over the years. He's had a busy week, though, locally and nationally. And I'm thinking about, you know, the profile. How big really is his profile? It's a memorable name. You know, they've had a lot of success. I think he might be one of the, because it's been so long now, too, he might be one of the GMs an average football fan could name. I mean, how many current general managers can you name? I follow it pretty closely. I don't know if I could name half. It might be about half. I can think of guys that have come and gone, but like even the Jets now, I don't know who it is. Teams that have made recent changes. I was going through the whole league earlier in my head, and in only one division can I name them all because I couldn't think of the Jets, and I still don't know it. AFC North, I might need a minute on the Bengals. It's the only division where I know I can name them all is the NFC North. Brad Holmes, Gutekunst, Adolfo Mensah, and Ryan Poles. Like that one, I got. I don't know why. They three of the teams last year were really good. Gutekunst has been kind of notorious with all the Rodgers stuff. Brad Holmes is in your face. I mean, the draft war room stuff with him, and they've won a lot. And the Bears have picked first overall. So that one I got. But, and, you know, Jerry Jones, does he count? He owns the team. How many can you name, do you think, that, all right, don't own the team or even do? He might be the only, he's got to be the only one who owns the team and, you know, is the GM. He is the GM, right? Or his
he is the GM.
Son. He is. Still, like, if it is the son, that's dad, though, and the owner. So it's probably close to the same thing. Veach in Kansas City. DaCosta in Baltimore. I can name him. Not all of them, though. Les Snead. NFC North was the only division where I knew I could do them all. Whatever that's worth. So, I don't know. Means nothing, maybe. But, like, Bean, I wonder where he ranks kind of on a Q scale, Q rating for, you know, GMs around the NFL. Again, the Bandits play tonight at home in the playoffs against Vancouver. Pre-game at 7, and then they get started at 7:30 downtown. Thanks again to Dave Buchanan for stopping by for a preview. I mentioned Sam. Also, Sal Capaccio was on with me earlier. We'll check in with Sal next, have that conversation. The calendar coming up, the schedule, rookie minicamp, and a look back at the draft one more time here as we close out the week. That's next. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.